Our scripture this morning will be 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. Amen.
Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. Before we get started, how many of you were able to watch the Hope Trending Living Life Without Fear on Hope Channel? Any of you get to watch that this week? I was wishing that we had been able to find out about that in advance and do a little better preparation for that. But it was very good. Tonight is the last night. And throughout the whole series, they talked about the maker of all things loves and wants me. The maker of all things loves and wants you. Bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Help us now as we open your word that we will be able to see that love more clearly. Amen. How many of you want to be rich? How many of you think you're already rich? A lot of people, yes. What does it mean to be rich? I've always felt that somebody that made more than I did was rich. That's just from my perspective. The U.S. statistics say that somebody that makes $51,759 a year is considered middle class. But let's put that in even more perspective. If you make $9,733 a year, that's not very much, is it? You are in the median income for the world. We only need to make $34,000 a year to be classed in the world's elite. And when you think of that, what does that say about the people that make multi-million dollars just for signing bonus or something, you know? And so rich is really very subjective. The title of the sermon, The Prodigal God, I read an article a few weeks ago that indicated that the word prodigal means wastefully extravagant, as in money, time, etc. Also lavish, so that can be applied to God as well as it can to the prodigal son, which we will be talking about. Let's turn to Luke chapter 15, and that's the only place that I could find where the word prodigal is used in the Bible. And this is a very common story for all of us. And Jesus said, "Then a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." Now, how many of you would consider a request like that? Dave Ramsey heard one of his children say that he was rich. And Dave took his child aside and said, "Your mother and I are rich. You just live here." And so, in other words, you got to make your own money. So what possessed this father to decide to give his child this money, to divide to them his livelihood, the way of making a living? He gave, in that custom, the older son got two-thirds, got two portions, and the younger son got one portion. So the older son chose to stay at home and run the farm. And in next verse, 13, "And not many days hence, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." Think about that for a minute. The father gave his son the portion of inheritance that fell to him, knowing that he was not a very good money manager, hoping for the best, expecting the worst. Can you just imagine how he felt when that son packed up everything and left? You know, it must have torn the heart right out of him. Here he had done the best he could to raise his boys in the knowledge of God, and then his son chooses to go out and live his life the way he wants to live it. He wants to do life better than his dad did. And so he leaves home to go out and find his fame and fortune. Do you think the son was expecting Or even thought, okay, let's go back there. Did the son even think about what was going to happen? All he was thinking about was, I'm going to go out and I'm going to have fun. And not even thinking about the consequences. He did not expect that within, let's say, a year or two, that he was going to come back home destitute. He didn't even have that in his mind, I can just imagine. But the father loved his son so much that he was willing to let go and let him go out and live his life. I thought about that quite a bit. The love that the father had, instead of trying to force him to stay home or chasing him and bringing him back and bringing him back, he let him go. Let him go out and live his life the way he wanted to. And the boy, when he left, he was so sure. He had all this money. Everything was coming up roses. He knew that it was going to be great. And when he got to the far country, he probably got a fine house, lots of servants, maybe a fast chariot and horses, and whatever he wanted to do, whatever he thought was going to make him happy, that's what he chose to do. That's what he chose to invest his money in. I don't see him investing it in any way of making the money back. So eventually, that money ran out. And in verse 14, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. I just imagine him, when the money ran out, they came and repossessed his chariot, and there was no food in the house. The servants couldn't get paid, so they all left, and here he was by himself in this big house with no food, all these fine clothes, and he couldn't even carry him. He just had to wear what was on his back and leave and go out and try to find some friends that were going to help him out in this time of need. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. And I can just see him out there. You know, pigs aren't going to tell if he eats some of the pig's food. I mean, I don't see why he just didn't fill his stomach with that, but he decided not to. Verse 17 is my favorite one. But when he came to himself, he finally realized that his choice, his life, was not going to be the life that he had expected. That having fun wasn't all it was cracked up to be. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread to eat and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Finally, after deciding that this was not the lifestyle that he was really wanting to do, he decided to make up this, well, shall we call it an apology or a confession or whatever you want to call it. He was going to go back to his father and throw himself at his father's mercy. Maybe his father would give him a job of a servant. At least he would have food to eat. But can you imagine the father wanting to have his son live out in the barracks and put up with him being a servant? The father couldn't do that. And so the father wasn't even listening. When the son decided to go home, he had to sneak away from his work because he said he had joined himself to this person. So he probably had to sneak away, taking only what he was wearing, and heading for home. Can you see him coming to his hometown and walking down familiar streets, coming to the driveway of his father, and turning in and walking up toward the house? He was weak and emaciated. His hair hadn't been washed for a long time. I'm sure it was long and straggly. His clothes were dirty. He smelled like pigs. And I can just see this picture of him walking down, just trudging along. He was tired after walking for so long, maybe limping. And his father recognized him as he was walking up the driveway. And he started to run down. The son was just shocked. And in that culture, it was not appropriate for an adult to run, especially a wealthy adult. And so he was shocked to see his dad running toward him. And then his father grabbed him and kissed him. And so the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father wasn't listening, was he? The father called his servants, and he says in verse 22, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and be merry.'" The father didn't even condemn him or anything. He just accepted him for who he was. His son had come home, and he was so glad that he was not even thinking about consequences. And when we think about this prodigal son coming home to his father and his father accepting him, let's go back to the text that Dave read in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. And this text, we're just going to read portions of it as we go through it. I chose to use the New King James Version. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can we apply this to the prodigal son's father? Did the prodigal son know the grace of his father? Actually, if we take the story of the prodigal son on down to the older brother, the way he reacted, the older brother didn't know the grace of his father either, did he? The older brother was doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. And the younger brother at least had the courage to act out and to go out and live the life that he had chosen to live. So, do we understand God's grace? Are you sure we understand it? Luke was showing the picture of the man saying grace this morning. And that's another idea of the same word. But do we understand how gracious God is toward us? That though he was rich, Jesus was rich, wasn't he? When you think about it, Jesus gave up everything for us. He owns everything. The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. He left the New Jerusalem, he left the city of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, where the pavement is made of gold. And he came down to this world. I have heard it likened to us becoming ants in order to save a population of ants. Maybe that's even too good. I don't know. It just seemed like the most insignificant being they could possibly think of. And that's what God, in the form of Jesus, did by coming to this world. And that, "Yet for your sake, he became poor." When you think of the poverty of Jesus when he was on earth, at least when he was at home, he had a bed to sleep in, food to eat, that he was making a living, he was working as a carpenter. But when he was out doing the work that he was called here to do, he didn't even have a bed to sleep in. He didn't have a house. He didn't have anything. He chose to do that for you and I so that we would have the chance at salvation. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. And the last part, that through his poverty, we might become rich. And do you realize that this sin experiment, I guess you could call it an experiment, the only one that comes out of this carrying the marks of this sin when it's all said and done, the only one that cannot go back to life the way it was, is Jesus. In the story of the prodigal son, we see the dad and the two boys getting back to life as usual. Jesus could not go back to life as usual. Everything was changed at that point. And that's the way Jesus treats us. The father prepared a banquet for his son's return. Jesus has already prepared a feast for us. Jesus gives us a special crown and a robe with our new names on them. The Father went back to his life as usual. Jesus never could go back to that. Sin has consequences that will last throughout eternity. Not for us, but for Jesus. If that is not prodigal, translating lavish or extravagant, what is? And that is why Ellen White says, "The whole treasury of heaven is open to those he seeks to save. Having collected the riches of the universe and laid open the resources of infinite power, he says, 'All these are for man. Believe it.' No wonder the little girl, repeating the 23rd Psalm, said it this way, 'The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want.' All things are yours in Christ," says Paul. "Forgiveness is yours. Hope and peace and courage are yours. The very power in which Jesus and the apostles lived is yours. Through the grace of Jesus, there is no trial you cannot meet and conquer, no overpowering perplexity you cannot master in the here and now, no piercing thorns you cannot wear as a kingly crown. Thank God with all your heart for him who, though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. And remember, the Maker of all things loves and wants you." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Help us to appreciate it and to share it with those that we meet. We do thank you and praise your name. Amen.